Today, we are talking to Robert Rose, founder of The Content Advisory, and we discuss cutting through the noise when everyone is fighting for attention, delivering content that builds trust, and the importance of patience when running on a lean budget. All of this right here, right now, on the Modern CTO Podcast.
Here we go!
This is the Modern CTO Podcast.
Generation is pumping you up.
Oh yeah, it's a good generation, you know.
I happen to think it's my favorite, but you know, I'm biased that way.
You know, I was talking to somebody about music the other day, and yeah, they're saying how they like, you know, older music, and I told them, I was like, you know, it's not really about age. It's just, it seems every generation has a sound, and so, you know, everything repeats in history, and you can just kind of find the sound that you like, you know.
Yeah, if I'm completely honest, the music today, aside from some of the more, I'll call them rock and roll bands, the sort of the pop music today really bums me out quite a bit. It's, you know, it's so derivative, right? So everything is so derivative. Have you seen that? There's a YouTube video that's going around that talks about that oh-ee-oh, you know, the sort of, that's like in every single pop song these days.
Yeah, the corporate high energy. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, right. And it just every, you know, from every Britney Spears to every, you know, whatever it is, whoever the sort of pop star du jour is, it's, you know, and if you grew up during the 80s, you know, I mean, you can argue that pop music was, you know, better or worse, but it was at least different.
Yeah, like when you started, I was on like Offspring and some of like the rock stuff, and then when the Britneys and some of the poppy stuff started coming out, it was just such a we had this chain of like vastly different sounds, from like you had metal and then you had rock and then you had this pop, and they were all, you know, very different, unique sounds. Chief Troublemaker, man, come on, that's awesome. Best title ever.
Yes, it's one I've had for a little bit.
And I'm assuming it's self-assigned.
Well, you know, I mean, it's yes, it is self-assigned, but it's maybe it's earned. How about that?
It's earned. Oh man, are we talking pranks?
No, I'm not. I'm not much one for pranks. I tend to in all of the jobs I've ever had and as a consultant, which is what I do for a living, I tend to be good at throwing bombs into the middle of the conference room and just sort of, you know, sitting back and watching the, you know, trying to figure out how to put all the pieces back together again. I have been called this a couple of times, but then, you know, it seemed like a cute way to not call myself you see all the titles these days, the ninja this or the, you know, the whatever. And it was something like, at the end of the day, I do marketing and I just refuse to take myself too seriously. You know, I just, we're not curing cancer here, right? We're trying to figure out how to persuade people to do stuff. And, you know, ultimately my job is quite, you know, it's quite a first world challenge. So, I'm just not going to take myself too seriously.
Yeah. And why should you, like, as a creative, your brain iterates through multiple perspectives. Yeah. And sometimes it's fun just to throw one out into the world and see how people respond.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Right. Just to, you know, so if you're going to do interesting things, marketing should be, is what marketing should be all about, is doing interesting things that people find valuable, and too many times it's not these days. And so, you know, as you start doing that, it just makes life better. It just makes your life and your job more interesting, about, you know, going to work every day rather than figuring out how to incrementally get one more SEO, you know, thing. And,
oh God.
You
right.
See what I mean,
it's like that again.
Yeah, oh exactly. Man.
Right. Time to make the donuts.
Yeah. I would get in trouble in middle school specifically. I would do what they call, I would just state the obvious. I would just say things that are obvious to me. And sometimes they would be offensive or shocking, but they were never not true.
Right.
I'm like, we're not arguing, not whether no one arguing's that no one's saying that this isn't true. They're just saying I shouldn't be saying it.
That's right. That's right. He's not wrong.
We just don't want the 13-year-old to say that, you know. Right,
exactly. Or we don't expect the 13-year-old to say it.
Yeah. Say, why do you want to be a computer engineer? Why do you want to write code? And one of the reasons is, well, I enjoyed it, but I also wanted to make a lot of money. And they're like,
yeah,
why do you want to make a lot of money? And I'm like, because it looks like it sucks being a teacher and they don't make a lot of money.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly
and
right.
And they didn't like that, you know, parent teacher conference. So I like your, I was reading some of your propaganda. reading some of the, your research.
It is. It's all propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. I was throwing that term around like really loosely. And one day someone's like, do you know what propaganda means? And they created like a spark of doubt. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go see what Wikipedia or the internet has to say. And, you know, it was a little hard, like a little more harshly worded than I usually use it, but I still stick with it. Like I think it sounds good.
Yeah. It's what it is. I mean, you know, in varying degree, it's not, you know, it's not, we're not trying to overthrow a government or
right.
be a government or, you know, influence the cultural responses of a populace, but it's still trying to sell something. You know what I mean? We're still not, you know, we're still not dealing with facts. You know, marketers, you know, this is something that gets me in trouble all the time is I'll say, you know, marketers, we're not in the business of facts. We're not in the business of what's actually true. We're in the business of what's supposed to be true. And so we're here to sell you, you know, something that is a vision of something that is supposed to be true, not what actually is true.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You sell, like, man, you got me. You may, I get it. Yeah, we're on the same page. Yeah. The words just escaped me.
It's like, you know, the example I use all the time is the, you see the commercial for the iPad and somebody's flicking their finger and designing a PowerPoint on their iPad and they're putting on their album and then they're editing the music and they're throwing the soundtrack on there. And nobody in the world has ever, ever done that. Nobody does that. Nobody designs their PowerPoint and puts in a soundtrack using their iPad. They just don't do it. That's not true. But of course, it's supposed to be true. And technically, you probably could do that, but nobody does it. It's not what's actually true, but it's the vision of what could be true if you owned this iPad. So that's marketing. And it's in writ large, that is what marketing is all about.
You know, that's the only way, the only true way to move a group of people or a product or anything forward is the visualization of what could be.
Exactly. I'm telling you a story. All I'm trying to do is tell you a story and change your beliefs.
Yeah. And then I liked, you know, story mapping. That's something we do a lot here. We're not even a marketing company. We map our stories as like ways to communicate what we want to do, the projects we want to take on.
Well, I've stolen that. I stole that term. I mean, my background being in screenwriting is something that I took that from. But certainly I took it from, you know, the extreme programming movement of the 90s and certainly what is lean and agile software development these days, that concept of story mapping and moving people through a set of user interfaces is exactly what we're supposed to be doing in marketing.
Ooh, that's a nice fresh perspective. That's good. So I've noticed this sort of, or at least it's looked to me like this rise in content, and I got to be honest, I wasn't on the content bandwagon for a long time because I was more focused on software. And then when I got into an executive role of being a CTO, all of a sudden the content is important because it's the way people learn. It's the way to distribute information at scale. And so all of a sudden it went from being something that was like, to one of the most important things that a business could probably do.
Well, you know, as you might expect, I would argue that, right, you know, for that, because that's what I do. And, you know, it is, I think, the, you know, we have spent our adult lives as businesses, you know, so let's call it the last 20 years, trying to figure out how to make interruptive advertising and marketing work. And it's just not anymore. And so the question becomes, how do you, in a world where everyone is the media, everybody creates content, not just our competitors, but everybody, including our sons, our daughters, us, everybody is part of the media these days. And so the noise is loud and the competition for attention and trust is high. How do you actually get someone's attention and hold it to the point where they believe what you're trying to have them believe, the propaganda? And the question, the answer to that is you've got to develop trust. And really the only way to do that is to deliver value through the content you're creating. And so it has to go beyond a simple sales message or a marketing message or a call to action or something like that. And you've got to be able to deliver content that builds trust and rises above the noise. Otherwise, you just get lost in it. And so it, you know, I mean, Seth Godin has said that it's the only marketing that's left, really, you know, and I'm not sure about that because I still love advertising and I still love all forms of marketing and advertising. But what I have found is that companies that really understand this, really understand the value of creating content that builds an engaged audience, truly understand how to differentiate themselves in the marketplace.
Yeah. So you build trust through education.
Yeah.
And that happens through around content.
That's right. You know, or inspiration or entertainment or whatever it is, you're just building trust in what I'm trying to, you know, the propaganda ultimately, quote unquote, is trying to sell you an approach, right? I want to sell you a better way of doing something. And that better way of doing something may be quite simply just, you know, having a better mint in your mouth, or it may be quite frankly building a better generator that's going to, you know, run your Fortune 100 business.
Yeah. Have you been aware of the Grant Cardone's videos and things like that? Have you come across him? Oh, you don't like him?
I do not. I'm not a fan.
All right. I want to know. I'm interested.
I think he, in many ways, represents the dark side of what I think of grabbing attention using content these days. You know, some of the things that I see him doing, you know, look, I read his book and there are some good things to learn from that book.
The 10X book?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think there's some interesting foundational types of things that, you know, have been talked about in other books, by the way. These are not terribly original ideas, you know, but the idea of, you know, some of the things that he does in the way that he promotes his event, you know, for example, saying, you know, hey, we just had, you know, right after the hurricane, which was devastating to so many, he had the post-hurricane special where, you know, you could get So a lot of the things that he does to rise above the noise, which is simply be controversial for controversy's sake, it really are they grate on me. They represent to me what the dark side of this idea is of rising above the noise through content, which is being controversial and letting the controversy be that which spreads your message. In many ways, it's not. It's not unlike what the guy, this Yiannopoulos guy, does. And so he uses the controversy of having very, very, very polarizing opinions to spread, to let the world spread his brand. And, you know, so basically both of them operate kind of from the all publicity is good publicity idea. And I don't believe that's true.
Yeah, where I got lost on it was when he was talking about the haters, that you need more haters. He's like, double your haters, triple your haters. I was like, because they'll talk about you because they hate you. And I'm like, well,
right. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have, you know, you shouldn't, you. One of the things that I talk about a lot is the idea of having a distinct point of view on the world and being proud of that point of view to the point where you're going to be wrong for some people. You know, it is not uncommon for me to run across people who think content marketing is a bunch of crap and, you know, and I'm selling some sort of, you know, snake oil or that sort of thing. And I believe in the process and I have a point of view on it and I'm not, you know, I'm more than willing to have people disagree with that or just not be into it. And quite frankly, you know, be a quote unquote hater, and that's okay. But ultimately, I'm not trying to take advantage of creating a false controversial opinion in order to build a hater community that will talk about me. That's what I think Cardone does that I truly find distasteful, you know, is using things like the hurricane or those kinds of things to create marketing materials, which he knows will create people who will spread it and share it and go, this is disgusting, I can't stand this, et cetera, which will get him clicks and will ultimately get him people that might purchase his class or whatever he's selling. That is just, is to me, is wrong.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I like the perspective. Like, I find new content all the time and I'm always like, oh, I want to know what people think about this person just because I'm super interested, right? Yeah. And then also because his book came out, you know, and then also Gary Vee has a book out, I think, right around now.
Yeah, Gary Vee is another example of this, right? I mean,
yeah.
I happen to think, look, I look at what Gary Vee is doing and it's not my cup of tea, like what his whole, the whole hustle thing and the whole, you know, all of that is not my groove, but at least it's a point of view and I don't begrudge him all of the wonderful success and attention that he's gotten because he believes it, right? And he believes right. in that stuff and is out there using. Now, a lot of people go, oh, Gary Vee, oh, and they have really negative reactions. But I think that's a different, I look at Cardone and Gary Vee in very, very different lenses, right? Gary Vee is out there talking about stuff that he believes in. And you might disagree with it. And for me, I don't resonate with it at all, but it's not for me. It's for the people who really resonate with his message. And I think that's great and good luck. God bless. I hope he does well. Cardone's a different story. Those guys are using negativity and negative energy to draw in their own, you know, sort of nefarious purpose. That truly is propaganda. If you look at that,
Yeah, you're actually right. There you go. You're living up to the actual definition of the word, right?
Right.
Yeah. But the one, so from Gary Vee, like I kind of like to take little, I look to see what's out there. So I understand what's going on in the world. Right.
Yeah.
And then I find little pieces. I'm always focused on the positive, you know, like I find little pieces like, all right, well, I can see where they're coming from this point. I can see what's happening from here.
Yeah.
Because there is something, there's always a little nugget to take away from everyone, right? Because
absolutely. One of the best sales campaigns I ever heard came from Gary Vee. It was one of the best marketing campaigns I ever heard in my life came from Gary Vee. It was amazing.
Which one was that?
He was talking about his wine library one time in a speech that I happened to be. I was speaking at the same event, so I went into the room and listened to him talk. And he was talking about this campaign he had done with when he was selling wine and how he was using Facebook to target, to do micro targeting. And he said what he would do is he would come up with this idea. So for example, he wanted to sell wine to, you know, these particular wines. And so he would write a blog post about the top five Princeton graduate favorite wines, right? So, you know, basically the top five wines for Princeton graduates, totally niche, right? Just, I mean, so micro niche. It's like, wow, that is a blog post that is targeted to a very, very focused set of people. And then he would take that blog post in which he would write out, you know, of course, the wines that were wonderful for those, you know, for people who graduated Princeton as an example. And then he would go to Facebook and he would promote that blog post. And he would use Facebook's targeting capabilities to target people who live in New Jersey, are graduates of Princeton, and like wine. And then he would sell wine that way. He would basically hyper-targeting people to go to a blog post in which he was hoping to really get a lot of high conversion rates. I just thought that was a wonderful way to use content and direct advertising to really get hyper focused around, you know, micro campaigns, if you will.
Yeah, no, the micro campaigns are amazing. The Facebook target, you know what, they had some targeting, and it's interesting because Facebook changes, right? It's like you used to be able to target people based on any page they liked or any company, but then they removed some of those abilities where the page had to be a certain size or a company had to be a certain size.
That's right.
So what's getting you excited these days? What's on your agenda that you're like really pumped about?
Well, you know, the new book is out, of course, and and so it's called Killing Marketing. And what has got me sort of out on the circuit and working with my clients, and the thing that I'm sort of spending a lot of time with folks on, is this idea of how to scale the idea of building audiences and using, you know, really to the theme of your show, is this idea of how do I start using first party data, in other words, my audiences, to make my entire business better. In other words, how do I start using content marketing as a business strategy to use the audience that I'm delivering value to, that wants to hear from me, that wants to engage with me, and use that data, because it's more valuable than that which I can scrape from just, you know, web visits or whatever, because it's being willingly given to me, and use that first party data to make my business better, you know, holistically, right? Whether it be to get better effectiveness, like we were just talking about, on an ad media buy, or to get better research into kind of the products I should be developing or where I should be selling them. In other words, looking at regionality or those kinds of things, helping to deliver better, you know, customers that stay longer, that you know, and really looking at the different ways that having access to a first party audience that is engaged with the content that I'm creating can provide all kinds of different and holistic value to a business.
Yeah, that's a smart thing to be writing about. You, is it like sold out?
Oh, well, you know, it's just stuff I'm doing. I mean, you know, it's so I my business is usually I do one of three things. I'm writing a lot. I'm teaching workshops, either privately or in public settings, or I'm working on a consulting basis with clients, and probably in the reverse order that I just gave it. I do most of my business is consulting with clients, and then secondarily working on public or private workshops where I'm just doing that as an education piece, and then thirdly writing. But the book is out. The book has been out since September. It's called Killing Marketing.
Awesome. And did you write that by yourself, or?
I did not. No, I wrote it with my pal and colleague, Joe Polizzi, who is the founder and CEO of the Content Marketing Institute. He has, since the company was acquired last year, he has since taken a bit of a leave of absence and a bit of a sabbatical. And I still maintain I'm the chief strategy advisor with the Content Marketing Institute. But yeah, he and I wrote the book together and released it in September of last year.
And so what's the purpose of the Institute?
Our whole goal is really to evangelize and propagandize, you know,
yeah,
to bring that word back, the process and approach of content marketing in large enterprises. You know, we mostly focus on bigger companies that are, you know, global in nature, multiple products, siloed in many ways. Larger brands tend to be our specialty, and our mission is really to evangelize the use of content marketing as a process, as a strategy.
Now, when you work with the larger brands, do you do like bids, or how does that work?
No, typically not. We are, you know, most of the business that affects my part of the business, you know, so as, you know, as a media company, CMI, its business model is one, a big event, Content Marketing World, which we do every September in Cleveland. And that's probably 5,000 people. And then we have the blog and the publication side, which includes a print magazine and the blog itself. And then there's the business I run, which is consulting and advisory, which is really the consulting and workshop part of that. And most of the business that we do through that is, quite frankly, coming in through inbound, through, you know, not to draw too much irony here, but through the content, you know, so through the content we create, we get interest from large companies who want to, you know, who need help operationalizing this thing called content marketing, and either want a workshop for their team or they want to, you know, actually have consulting help to do it.
So you'll like produce a bunch of content about the effectiveness of workshops or like how workshops work or like all the stuff around workshops, and then people will pick up on it and reach out to you and say, hey, do a workshop.
Yeah, it's broader than that, I would say. I mean, so the real thrust of it is, you know, if you look at Content Marketing Institute's blog, you'll see it's basically everything around the best practices and tips and tricks and all kinds of things around content marketing holistically, right? And so, mm-hmm. You know, basically, we are there to evangelize and look at the effectiveness of how to develop content marketing strategies that actually work. You know, basically everything from the most granular, what kind of headlines and blog posts and articles and white papers and webinars should you be doing kind of, you know, content, to how should you be structuring your teams and approaches kind of thing. And through the consumption of that content, we get people from all parts of the organization coming in and saying, hey, this really resonated with me. How do we do this? How, you know, do you offer workshops or do you offer training or do you offer consulting to, you know, to help companies actually do what you're talking about here? And that ends up then translating into either consulting or education projects.
Yeah. Well, I like what you're doing because it's an easy thing to believe in because it works.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And it's valuable, and that's what companies need. They need stuff that works and that brings them value. So, and I'm all on your team with this one.
Nice.
I have a question for you about, so we have put together a world tour. It's 16 cities, and we're doing the show live in theaters all over the world. And it's going to be like a TED Talk meets a drone show, like you saw with the Olympics, meets South by Southwest with a DJ mixing the sessions between the content. It's like a one night event. Somebody called it like a technology circus, but I'm like, no, we probably won't call it that. But it's basically just this high energy.
Have you seen the pop-up magazines? Have you seen the pop-up magazines that have been around some of the cities?
No.
Oh, you should check that out, man. They're really cool. Just Google pop-up magazine. It's a group that does this. They're doing shows here in Los Angeles. They started in San Francisco, and they've been doing them here in Los Angeles, and then they've started to branch out into places like New York and Chicago. And it's mm-hmm. basically think like a This American Life or those kinds of radio shows, but done in a live setting where you've got journalists and performers, musicians, and they do a 90-minute show that is kind of mix of, you know, it's kind of mixing TED Talks with, you know, multimedia with all kinds of, they're really, I went to one here in Los Angeles. It was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love this idea. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead with what you were saying.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. We're doing the show live, and just like the drones and everything are going to be super cool. And we're having like, have you seen the Boston Dynamics?
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Dude, everyone's going to come to it to see that thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Try to kick it over. Yeah, slash like Ripley's. When you walk in, there's going to be things in the display case. It's going to be awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, what do you think of that? Well, it sounds like you think it's pretty sweet, right?
I think it's an awesome idea. I mean, if I were going to do an event, that's exactly the kind of event I would want to do. That's exactly what you're describing.
Yeah. So then we'll probably need some help with some marketing stuff when we go there, so maybe you'll help us out with that.
Absolutely, you let me know.
And then we'll even, like, although I'll tell you what though, that little drones flying around and that Boston Dynamics dog, I think those videos, this whole event's gonna go like crazy viral.
It'll be fantastic, because you'll have all kinds of video and cool stuff to show, and you know, so even if the first one you get, you know, X number of people to show up, you know, the second one and third one, once word starts to get out about all the cool stuff that you've got going on here, then we'll be crazy popular.
Yeah. And we have the awesomeness of the fact that we have all these listeners from the show, and then we have all these guests who are residing in all these cities. So we have like instant connections to the local influencers. We're going to go to the colleges and talk to their computer science departments. I'm going to go do a bunch of press, you know, leading up to the event. And the event will be sold out at every single one, because we'll structure the tickets so that we pack the house no matter what.
Yeah. Right.
we're smart.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So we're excited, and any help, we're just kind of talking to everyone, say, hey man, if you know any ideas or help or creativity, because to pull off a 16 city show, we are going to need a lot of very bright, talented people.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you are. No doubt about that.
So we've been asking, a large part of our audience is computer science engineers, right? Kids of that nature, usually between 17, 25, that's probably 30-40% of our audience. And a lot of them, they're either building robots or they're building a software for a startup, and like very bootstrapped, you know, noodles in their dorm room type situation. And they all have very little money, and they want to get the most exposure for the project that they're kind of working on. So right. A hypothetical situation I'm throwing at you. They have mm-hmm. 10 grand and let's say a mind controlled drone. It's a drone that they fly with their mind, right? What do they do? How do they spend that 10 grand to kind of get the word out and make this mind controlled drone a business?
Well, a lot of that depends on where they are in their development. In other words, what's the goal here? Is the goal to get more funding, or is the goal to start selling the actual product? And let's assume it's the latter. Let's assume that it's they actually have a product, a finished product, ready to go, and they're looking for leads to actually sell this thing.
Correct.
If I only had 10 grand, and that is a very small budget, I think I would spend most of it on getting whoever my internal person was, my CTO probably, a writing opportunities and content opportunities in big publications, right? So it almost entirely a PR budget, if you will, but a PR budget not focused on publicizing the company, but rather publicizing our new idea here, which is mind-controlled drones, and having someone write about it. So getting an article into Harvard Business Review and to Fast Company and to Wired and to TechCrunch and, you know, all of those places, and getting as much exposure as I could, bringing them back into a really cool and awesome content-oriented website, you know, which is, you know, call it a blog, call it whatever, but really basically bringing them into the details of this awesome and teaching people, you know, why it's so great and how it's going to work and videos and all that stuff. So I would spend some money on building a, you know, just an awesome center of gravity, call it a website or whatever. But most of the money I would spend on trying to get coverage out on the big consumer magazines that would pull in leads.
Nice. I love that strategy. I'm on board.
Yeah, it's not going to go far. 10 grand is not going to go far, sadly, these days. It's, you know, all money is an effect on time, right? So the more money you have, the shorter time period you can do stuff. And so everything I just said, you could also do organically. It's just going to take longer.
That is very true.
So the more money you have, you can just do more of it in a shorter time period. And so, and you know, and like all your audience, I'm sure, that run the math, there is a crossover point at some point where more money doesn't actually shorten the time, but until you reach that crossover point, basically the addition of more budget just shortens the time with which you can start generating more leads. And so the real trick for you as a startup, as someone who's just launching a product into the marketplace, is to balance how quickly you need stuff to happen, which is based on how differentiated you think your technology really is, versus how patient you can be in terms of getting you and your ideas out into the marketplace. And if you can be patient, you don't have to spend a lot of money. But if you need, if your stuff is like, there's a lot of fast followers or there's a lot of people who are in your space, then you need to spend the money to do things quickly.
Excellent advice.
Yep. Like mind control drones. If I had a mind control drone, I'd be taking my time because I can't imagine there are many people who are going to be, you know, putting a product into the marketplace, you know, really quickly here. I mean, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know much about this space. You'll tell me, oh no, there's like five guys that can do this tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, okay. There you go. All right. You know, so that's me only, corrected.
That's only because they both, the drone exists, programmable drones exist.
Yeah.
And the devices to read your mind to play video games exist. So you just mix them. Like it's just a matter of sitting down for a weekend and mixing them.
Sure. Yeah. Getting all those Arduinos to work.
Yeah. I have no interest in a mind controlled drone company business. Like I don't, that's not,
sound I like would a build Spider-Man one. Villain.
Yeah. Oh man. But thank you so much, Robert, for bringing the value. It was amazing hanging out and talking with you.
Absolutely. My pleasure, my friend.
Yeah. And if people want to find out more about you or buy your book, how do they go about that?
You can just go to robertrose.net and stuff is there.
Stuff is there. I love the alliteration, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
Hi,
you.
I'm Rose, Robert Rose.
Yes.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for listening to the Modern CTO podcast. Share this, get the word out. Thank you guys so much. I couldn't do it without you. I appreciate it. You guys are the absolute best.